السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We have been discussing in the seerah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hijrah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have started off from those incidents that led to the hijrah. We have discussed how Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala explained to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has already got these two camels ready, etc. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to be ready. We've seen also from there the confidence that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in the entire family of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Not only in Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, but in the entire family. On one occasion, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made announcement that people should contribute towards a certain jihad, so Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he brought all his belongings, each and everything, he left nothing at home. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it from him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what have you left at home? He said, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it from him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala brought half his belongings. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it from him. But one sahabi came and he had a piece of gold. And he gave it to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you must take it back home. Give it back to your family. Take it back home. So he insisted that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must take it towards the jihad. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually took it and he threw it. And he threw it with such force that it is mentioned in the riwayat that if it had to hit somebody, the person would have got hurt. Like that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw it. And he told that person, take it back home. So Allah Pak knows the hikmat and the wisdom behind that. But sometime the zihn of the man is made. The zihn of the family is not made. So the man may have the jazba that no, I want to give it. But the zihn of the family is not made. Now the family's zihn is not made. And the man goes and does that. And now the family has to suffer hunger for a few days or something. Now they will begin to blame deen. And sometime they can even lose their iman. They may utter words of kufr. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had such confidence. And then we seen, I explained to you last week, how when the grandfather came and he asked the daughters of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, what has your father left? Now he went away with his friend. All this time we telling him, don't join that friend. Now he left all of you all, abandoned you all and he's gone. So the daughter Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she took the grandfather. The grandfather had lost his sight. She took her grandfather and she made him feel some stones. And she told him, no, father has left some gold nuggets behind. So then the grandfather had some tasalli. So the akabirin also, sometimes they accept certain things from certain people. They don't accept certain things from certain people. Once our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he had a program here in Pietermaritzburg. At a certain place he had a program. So after the program, as we are walking out now, going towards the vehicles, so the people who were the host of the program, they came up to Hazrat and they gave Hazrat one envelope. I told him, Hazrat is Hadiyah. So Hazrat told that person that Jazakanda, I don't accept this kind of hadiya. You know, Jazakanda. So that person was insisting. He wants to put it in Hazrat's pocket. You know? Some people, they don't understand no means no. See, carry on. Sometimes it's out of muhabbat, that's different. The person is trying to show his ikhlas, that's different. But Hazrat told that person no. So that person was insisting. Eventually Hazrat caught his hand and pushed his hand away. He said no. So now they understood that Hazrat is not going to take it. Then Hazrat went to his car. Apo Gori Allah Pak granted Jazai Khair and granted Sihat, Afiyat, long life. So she was with Hazrat. So they got into the car and they were going. So I went quickly to the car to go and meet Hazrat. And I think I had one chocolate with me or something. So I went there and I'm frightened too because now Hazrat pushed the other person's hand away now. I don't know what's going to happen to me here. So I went there and anyway I gave Hazrat the chocolate. So Hazrat took it with two hands. And he said, no, your hadiya I'll take. Your hadiya I'll take. But this hadiya is being given out of muhabbat. That I never took. And he told me, he said, even if there was a million rand in that envelope, I wouldn't have taken it. Even though they are saying it's hadiya, if it was a hadiya, why are they giving it to me on this occasion? They don't ever give me a hadiya. Now all of a sudden, because I came for a program, now they give me a hadiya. So what this hadiya is for? It is in payment for this program. It is in payment for this program. If it was a hadiya, straightforward hadiya, then why they didn't come yesterday and give me a hadiya? Why they didn't come last month and give me a hadiya? Why are they giving me a hadiya now, after the program? So that type of hadiya I won't accept. Some time later, there was another program also in Maritzburg. And after the program, the host of the program, he also came to Hazrat. And he gave Hazrat a box of chocolates. Hazrat never took the chocolates also. Even the chocolates Hazrat never took. And that occasion also he told me the same thing. So these people don't normally give me hadiya. Why are they giving me hadiya now after the program? Once I went to visit Hazrat, when I went to the house, that time Hazrat was still staying in Cactus Lane. I went in the house, Hazrat was very, very upset. Very, very upset. He had just got off the phone. He was very worked up, he was very upset. And I just sat down there. After that he said, I don't know what is happening. Now we are even charging to give a talk. So now we are even charging to give a talk. That if somebody is inviting us to give a talk somewhere, so they must pay all our expenses and they must pay us to give the talk. Very, very upset. I don't know where it was, whether it is another country or whatever. But he was very, very upset about it. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali also was very, very particular. And many of our Akabirin, Hazrat Jivan Masyullah Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to come on his safar, wherever he was going on safar, people used to come up to him and give him money for the madrasa. So he used to tell them, if you want to contribute to the madrasa is there, go give your money there. I'm not here on chanda. I won't come here on collection. I've come here with a different purpose. I didn't come for your money. So if you want to give collect money, contribute towards the madrasa is there all the time. Go send your money there. Why are you giving it to me here? So zehen is a very, very important thing. Zehen of each person must be made. So the whole family of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and their whole family's zehen was made. The whole family's zehen was made. So khair, those things just came now. As I said to you that here now whatever comes is for my benefit, for your benefit, whoever's benefit. It's not a planned thing. What is planned is to read from the kitab, but Allah Pak is the best of planners. So here we come to the point now where the kuffar, they have surrounded the house of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have discussed all that mashwara now where shaitan came and gave all that rai and all that. So the people now, they have surrounded the house of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is inside the house. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is inside the house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come out. Now, understand it. The danger is outside. Danger is outside. Inside the house is like a safety zone. If we have to use our logic, we would say Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should rather send Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala outside. Go away quickly to the Banu Hashim family. Go and alert them that this is what is happening here. And then they can come to the assistance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah Pak's instruction to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is he must go out. So logic will be put aside. The hukam of Allah will be complied. So Allah Pak is saying, read your 5-time namaz with jamaat, I give barakat in your rozi. I'll take care of your rozi. Logic is saying, if I'm going to close my shop, I'm going to lose the customers. That's what logic is saying. If I close my shop, I'm going to lose the customers. If I'm going to leave the shop and go read namaz, I'll lose out on a couple of sales here. So at that time, are we going to comply with the hukam of Allah, or are we going to comply with our logic? Certain business deal is available, but the deal is not according to Shariat. Or there is some grey area there. Now what are we going to do? It is at times like that that our taqwa is tested. Taqwa is tested there. Taqwa is not tested in the masjid. Taqwa is tested in places like that, at times like that. Now imagine you overweight there. You're flying and going somewhere and you overweight. And you don't have to even ask the person. The person is telling you. The person is telling you, I put a couple of rands in my hand and I'll let your weight go through. The person is telling you. You're not even asking him. He's offering you. One is where you have to ask. Sometimes maybe you're shy to ask the person and make a plan, put it through. Some people can talk, some people can't talk. But here you don't have to even talk. The man is telling you. Just see me right and I'll let your bags go through. At that time, the taqwa is going to be tested. So at that time, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali told that person, he said, no. What is excess weight, you take it off. Whatever is excess weight, you take that off. I'll make some other plan with it. So then that person told Hazrat, he said, alright, don't worry, man. You don't have to give me anything also. Just put your things through. I'll send it through. So that also Hazrat never agreed with. There too he told the person, he said, no, I'm only allowed certain amount of weight. You don't own the airline. You can't change the rule. I'm only allowed that much of weight. So only let that much of weight go through. Then the person told Hazrat, he said, nobody is looking, man. So Hazrat told him, maybe your boss is not looking, my Allah is looking. That person brought Iman. He became a believer. Now with us, if we went there and we made a plan, in fact when we come home we will brag about it. I just palmed that fellow man. He sent all my things through. We brag about it. We think that we accomplished something. But Shariat Parmane, what have we done? We got involved in bribery and corruption. We have bribed someone, and bribery is impermissible. It's a kabira guna, and it's a sign of Qiyamat. So khair, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is instructed by Allah Pak that he must come out. So he will comply with the command of Allah. Now what he is going to meet on the outside, whatever it is, Raza bil Qaza, is happy with the decree of Allah Pak. If it means those people are going to attack him, that is Allah Pak's hukam. Whatever it is, he's going to come out. One beautiful thing was, before he left, telling Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that you spend the night on my bed. There is also the instruction from Allah Pak. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala must spend the night on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bed. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that tomorrow you return all the amanat to all the people. Whatever amanat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had by him, people were leaving amanat by him. So you return everybody's amanat. And after that, after a few days, then you also make your way to Madina Munawwara. Now imagine sleeping in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bed on that night. One is everybody wants tabarruk. Everybody wants tabarruk. Everybody wants to walk where the sheikh walked, drink from the cup where the sheikh drank from, eat from the plate the sheikh ate from. But the wife's plate you don't want to eat from. The wife's glass you don't want to drink from. You drink from the sheikh's glass, from the sheikh's utensil, you may get tabarruk. You may get some tabarruk. But if you drink from the wife's glass, from the wife's plate, you made amal on the sunnah. Made amal on the sunnah. So just as we are desirous to eat from the sheikh's plate and drink from the sheikh's cup, we must also be more desirous to make amal on the sunnah. Drink from the wife's glass, eat from her plate. See, we have adopted too much of the kuffar tariqah, too much of the kuffar way of life. Now we think Valentine's Day, if we give one rose, that is going to create muhabbat. We think that on the anniversary, if we take her out for dinner, that's going to create muhabbat. We think those things are going to create muhabbat. And majority people are doing those things. Majority people are doing those things. And we thinking those things are going to create muhabbat. But the divorce rate is soaring. If we have to turn the clock back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, ask our great-grandfathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, find out from our parents that your parents, did they celebrate Valentine's? They probably didn't even know what is the V of Valentine. They didn't know anything. But their marriages were lasting longer. Today there is so much of emphasis, Valentine's, anniversary, birthday, this day, that day, every day. But the nikahs are not lasting. So something is missing. And the Nabawi Nuskha that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to create muhabbat, that we're not making amal upon. Now we will say, that if the wife is going to bite from this piece of meat and the husband is going to bite from the same place, how is that going to create mohabbat? If the husband and wife are going to drink from the same glass, there's no rose there, there's no diamond ring there, there's no nothing. How is that going to bring mohabbat? There's no chocolates, nothing. How is that going to bring mohabbat? One is what the kuffar say, one is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. So lot of people are complaining, they say, just can't seem to get on with the wife, and just can't seem to do this, and we're always arguing, and we're always fighting, and we're always doing this and doing that. Have we tried these Nabawi nuskhas, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's formulas to create muhabbat between the husband and wife? When we enter the house, are we entering the house with a smile? Are we making miswak? Is the wife chewing the husband's miswak for him? So these things we are not doing. What the kuffar have prescribed, we are making amal upon it. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed, we are not making amal upon it. And then we want to know why there is no muhabbat, why there is no love, why the house has become like world war. See, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned once, he said, if a person is sick, the first thing he'll do, he'll try some home remedy. That doesn't work out, so he'll go to the chemist. That doesn't work out, he'll go to the doctor. That doesn't work out, somebody must be did jadu. Go to the amil. Right? When all else fails, when you finish, try everything out, then he says, well, now let me try Allah Pak out also. Let me try Allah Pak out also. I tried everything else failed. Let me also try Allah Pak. Whereas, when the problem happened, the first thing he was supposed to do is turn to his Allah. Turn to his Allah. Then, after that, Allah Pak can put shifa in the home remedy, Allah Pak can put shifa in the pharmacy's prescription, Allah Pak can put shifa in the prescription of the doctor, anything Allah Pak can put shifa in. One time Surah Fatiha can be a means of his shifa. But the problem with us is, we try everything else out first, last we come to Allah. Last we come to Allah. So first we're supposed to turn to Allah. So khair, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that you sleep here on the bed and return all the amanat, and after that you make your way to Medina Munawwara. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he was asked that how was that night you slept there? I was telling you, everybody wants the Sheikh's Tabarruk, but now on that night, you sleep there and you got 50 swords waiting for you all around. Now how are you going to sleep there? Then who wants to be in the Sheikh's place that time? You see, look at those people who were made Shaheed recently. That alim from the Sipai Sahaba in Pakistan, in the drive-by shooting. They took the bullets. They took the bullets. But their imam or their Maulana or whoever it is, he mustn't get injured. Rather, they take the bullets. So you get ushak like that also. And then you get sharks also. You get ushak and you get sharks also. Both you get. So khair, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he slept in the bed of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite knowing the danger that is lurking around. And when he was asked later on, that how was the sleep you had in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bed on that night? So his response was, that was the best sleep. That was the best sleep I ever had. Every other night of his life, He didn't know whether he's going to wake up the next day. But that night he knew he's going to wake up the next day. Because Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you need to return all this amanat. You need to return all this amanat and then you come to Madinah Munawwara. So that night he knew he's going to survive. All other nights when there were no swords around his house, those nights he didn't know whether he's going to survive. Because those nights he had no assurance from Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'timad. You see, this is why the system is like that. That a person will first get fana fi shaykh. Then he will become fana fi rasul. Then he'll become fana fi Allah. People don't understand. I'timad, how is going to be built? How is it going to be built? The person will first have to have i'timad on his sheikh. He will have to make ita'at of his sheikh. Then the sheikh will guide him to where, because what is the sheikh instructing him to do? Deen, sunnah, sharia? So then it will become fana fir Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, become fana fir Allah. But after that, in that person's life, his philosophy will be, if my Allah has ordered this, then finish. That's it. That's what I will do. No questions asked. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that was the best night. Because I knew I am going to wake up tomorrow. I have to return all this amanat. I have to make my way to Madinah Munawwara. Every other night I had some worry when I went to sleep, but not that night. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes out of the house. All those people are there surrounded with the swords. They are waiting for this opportunity for Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out. And Allah Pak is telling Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do just that. Walk into their hands. Come out. They're waiting for you to come out. Come out. Now comes the hand of Allah. Now comes the hand of Allah. There are different riwayat mentioned that what Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ اَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّوْا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Other ayat are also mentioned in different riwayat. Then it is mentioned that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a handful of sand and he threw it in the direction of those people. But now those people were surrounded the house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that each one of them became blind to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could see everything else, but they couldn't see Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if a person has to say, but how is that possible? How is it possible that they could see everything else? They're looking at the house, they're looking at everything, they can see everything, but they can't see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do you have any doubt that jinnat exist in the world? Jinnat exist in the world? Anybody got any doubt? There's no doubt. Everybody knows jinnat exists. You can't doubt it. Allah Pak mentions it in the Quran Sharif. But can we see them? When we're making salam after namaz, we're making salam for the jinnat also. Can we see them? We can't see them. We can see everything else. We can't see the jinnat. So, how many times it happens, we're looking for something. We looked in that cupboard. We never see it. After that, you open the same, your wife will open the cupboard, she'll see it. But I opened there, looked there. So this sight, this gaze is in the power of Allah, control of Allah. Many people, they say, and it's a very, very common weakness, that we can't make hifazat of our eyes. And in the environment we live in, a person doesn't have to go out, he doesn't have to make much effort to make khiyanat with the eyes. The opportunity of making khiyanat of the eyes is with him all the time. all the time that opportunity is there to make khiyanat with dais. So one person who was having a problem with this, so I told him that you go, don't have to tell anybody anything, you just go there to Sidara, or visit the madrasa. Go and visit the madrasa. And spend a little bit of time with those children who don't have sight. And then ask yourself what a great ni'mat the sight is. And if Allah Pak has to take it away because I am abusing it, we must never be too sure of ourselves that because I can see today, so I'll be able to see for the rest of my life. The sight belongs to Allah. The fire that they threw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam into, it could burn everything else, but it couldn't burn him. Anything else that came in contact with it, it could devour it. It couldn't burn Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. The same fire which can burn something can't burn something else. The knife that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was using to slaughter Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, the same knife can cut everything else, but can't cut the neck of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So the same eyes that the kuffar were using to look for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they can see everything else, but they can't see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the qudrat of our Allah. Now can a person still get depressed? Can a believer suffer from depression when he's got such a powerful Allah? Such a powerful Allah, can he suffer from depression? A person goes in depression, why? Because he trusts in himself. He trusts in himself. And when his self lets him down, he goes into depression. When he can't accomplish something, he goes into a depression. Why? He's trusting in himself. So he must trust in Allah. And then if it doesn't work out, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We're learning from great art. Taqdeer, good and bad, is from Allah. If it never work out, so Allah didn't want it to work out, why do I need to beat myself up? If it didn't work out, Allah never wanted to work out, why must I beat myself up? I tried my best, but Allah knows what's better for me. That's why it never worked out. Hazrat mentioned once, one Buzurg, they were stranded in Jeddah, returning from Hajj. So they planned that they had to catch. Now, some delay or whatever it was. Now what we'll do, we come back to South Africa, we need to have a couple conferences with SAWUK and get hold of the radio stations and let them take all these fellows to town, tear them up on the air and expose our faults to the whole world and all the kuffar and everybody and become the laughing stock of mankind. That's what we'll do. We'll come back and brag to everybody how we saw the agent and how we took off with that fellow and how we took off with all the Arabs there in the airport and how we put them all in their place and everything. We did everything. That bichara didn't even know what we were saying. He must have been sitting there and saying, you know, where this jungly people came from Africa making noise here. They're used to listening to the elephants. They're coming here and they ranting away here like chattering like monkeys and roaring like lions because they came from the jungle there. So that Buzurg, he was stranded there in Jeddah for a long period of time. So when he went back home, the people asked him, hey, you know, you got stranded there, you know, must have been very hard. And so he said, we were sitting there. From the one side, the breeze from Makkah Sharif was coming. From the other side, the breeze from Madina Sharif was coming. We were sitting there making Allah, Allah, reading Durood Sharif. What more can we ask? If we've caught the flight quicker, then quicker we would have been further away from Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif. The longer the flight took, so at least we had few more hours in closer proximity to Kaaba Sharif and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now why does a person think like that? Because his trust is on Allah. Now the other person, why he gets mad? Because I'm a businessman. I paid for this thing. Why the plane is not here? These people don't know what they're doing. I paid money. Where's the agent? I got this meeting to attend. I need to be back. I got connecting flight. I got this, I got that. So what's the problem? He's trusting in himself. He's thinking he does. His money does. His intelligence does. His strength does. So that's why he gets angry. He gets upset. He wants to shout. But if he accepts that my Allah is in control, so now he will resign himself to Allah. Ya Allah, this is your decree. What can I do now about this? What can I do about it? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he resigns himself to Allah Rabbul Izzat. He comes out in the face of the enemy because it is the hukam of Allah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he resigns himself because it is the hukam of Allah. The family of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, they resign themselves because it is the hukam of Allah. And didn't Allah take care of all of them? Allah took care of all of them. But we have to trust in Allah. We have to trust in Allah. One, two wazifas are not going to do the trick. One, two wazifas are not going to do the trick. Everybody wants a wazifa. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that everybody thinks the Shaykh is a wazifchi. You get chai wala, dood wala, you get on wazifa wala. You must just dish out wazifas. So Hazrat mentioned in the kitab, one of Hazrat's kitabs, I think in Tafweez, one of the kitabs is written there, that the person has got a 45 caliber bullet. 45 caliber bullet he got. But he doesn't have the right firearm to fire that bullet. So as powerful as that bullet may be, but he is throwing it with his hand, what effect is it going to have? What effect is it going to have? However, if he puts it in the right chamber of the right firearm, and then he fires that bullet, now he can drop an elephant. Now he can drop something very big. It's a very powerful caliber bullet. Same like that. There's no namaz, there's no roza, there's no taqwa, there's no sabr, there's no akhlaq. The firearm is not there. And now we're reading wazifa upon wazifa, and we want to know why it's not working out. But if a person has got all these things in his life, he's following sunnah, he's fulfilling the ahkam of Allah, now simple things he will do, and he will see the results. Every dua he makes, he'll see the fruit of it. People say, you know, one buzurg was mustajabud da'wat. Whatever dua he made, accepted. So we get very happy that the buzurg was mustajabud da'wat. So why we don't look at that buzurg, what life he was leading to be mustajabud da'wat? So we also adopt that same lifestyle. Allah Pak's khazana is limitless. Allah Pak doesn't have to have only one person who is mustajabud da'wat and two people who are mustajabud da'wat. Allah Pak can accept everybody's dua. If Allah Pak is to accept every person's dua and give every person whatever they wish, then too it will not decrease the khazana of Allah Pak even an iota. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq, give us yaqeen, proper tawakkul upon Allah Rabbul Izzat, proper yaqeen. We must develop this yaqeen, develop this tawakkul, barosa upon Allah Rabbul Izzat. It will take away all our worries, all our parashani. Resign ourselves to the will of Allah Rabbul Izzat and be happy with it also. Be happy with it. Raza bil qada. One is a person say, alright, that's what Allah Pak decreed. You know, like in a begrudging way, like, alright, never mind. Fell on me, now I have to just accept it. The other is, the person is pleased that my Allah knows better than me. If my Allah made that happen, then that's best for me. I'm pleased with it, I'm happy with it.
Jis raah se wo le jaate hai, us raah ko ashal deka hai.
How many times you heard that from Hazrat?
Jis raah ko hum tajweez kare, us raah ko asqal deka hai.
The path that Allah Pak chooses for us, it's always the most simple path. And the path we try to choose for ourselves, that always turned out to be extremely, extremely difficult.
Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر مستعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.